Hey listeners, Alondo and I need a little break. So from this episode, we're going to take one about a month break, and we'll be back mid-September for some more remakes, reboots, and revivals. So in the meantime, please listen to some of our backlog catalog anywhere you listen to podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, any other player. We're even on YouTube. So sit tight, and we will be back with more episodes mid-September for our third year anniversary. Exciting. Enjoy our episode. You ever see that YouTube video of this big buff Hercules looking guy singing that song What's Up by Four Non Blondes? Hey,
yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, I actually have seen that video. Yeah, I think you showed me that video.
Yeah, I love that video. It's been one of my favorite YouTube videos for like 10 years. If you type in like, hey, yeah, 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 yeah on YouTube, it'll come up. And that character that they're animating it to, I only recently found out was He-Man.
Which is so funny, it being one of your favorite videos and not realizing that.
And not realizing at all that this footage that they were taking and, you know, appropriating for this comedic video.
Was a real property.
Yeah, so that heads up right there, too. If you're a big fan of He-Man and stuff, you know, like, I'm very new to this. I'm just grasping it, and I hope I don't offend anyone with the my lack of familiarity with this.
I feel like you're
going to
offend a lot of people, including me.
So I'm putting it out there now. Don't get offended. It's your own fault if you do.
I just want to point out that, like, Nicole, you've offended so many people before with, like, how much you didn't like Gossip Girl and stuff. So,
and you've offended many people with how much you didn't like Dark Crystal. So
the original movie, not the...
Oh, okay. So it counts. The original movie. Yeah. No, that's what makes it worse.
No, I stand by that. You know, we're not going to get into it. So
I stand by the new Gossip Girl sucking and that you should skip it. But we're not talking about either or.
No, today we are talking about He-Man and the Netflix revival reboot. They've been throwing that word around, but
it's one of the
He-Man Masters of the Universe revelations. So let's get into it. I'm Rolando.
And I'm Nicole.
And this is Remakes, Reboots, and Revivals.
An original podcast
about unoriginality.
You know, it's so interesting because I was thinking about the historical aspect of this. You know, I always love to put it into perspective when these things come out and what was going on. And it came out in the 80s. The original, you know, action figures and then the comics were from 1981 to 1982. They did like a whole DC series, and then the Filmation animated series came out in 1983. And if you think about the 80s, right, you think about the cinema of the 70s ending and the 80s beginning, right? There's a certain type of film that died, and there's a certain type of film and television show and stuff that sprouted. So no more were the old Hollywood genres that people loved, right? The musicals were practically on their way out.
Thank God.
Fuck you. the Western was not nearly getting the audience that it was, right? So but people love genre. People love, you know, tropey things that you have this familiarity with. And in the early 80s, a new genre was starting to take these places of the musicals and the westerns that were, you know, getting out of popularity. And fantasy, I think, actually was starting to become a huge genre that kind of took the place as one of, you know, people's favorite genres to go to. And it kind of hasn't really gone away since, right? Fantasy has stayed like true in our pop culture, like, you know, our world, essentially.
Right.
And in particular, in the 80s, you got this whole, like, sword and sandal meets, like, wizardry, you know, so technically sword and sorcery genre popped up. We got, you know, so Conan the Barbarian came out. The Dark Crystal came out, you know, even with, like, Star Wars and stuff, you know, like these space, quote, space operas were influencing, you know, more science fiction. You know, 2001 A Space Odyssey pretty much gave birth to new science fiction. And then even look at Disney, you know, doing the Black Cauldron and that film Legend. You know, all of these things were coming out and people were just eating it up in the 80s.
Well, not the Black Cauldron. I thought that was a flop.
Well, yeah, but it was made because people were eating that other stuff up. You know?
It was just a misfire from Disney, but it was still.
Yeah. And that's a pretty big cult film, I would say.
That doesn't mean anything.
okay. Well. So anyway, so I think that in the 90s, some of that kind of went out of popularity and stuff. And maybe even we had a brief like with Gladiator and the King Arthur movies and stuff in the early 2000s, but not in a fantasy way. I think Game of Thrones kind of brought it back. But it's been ever popular in literature.
Isn't Harry Potter like straight up fantasy?
Yeah, but it's not like sword and sorcery fantasy.
What about Lord of the Rings?
Yeah, Lord of the Rings also. Yeah. I always forget about Lord of the Rings. Cause it's,
Narnia.
Narnia, yeah, the right? Narnia series, so there's this beautiful relationship, though, with cinema and literature with it. So I guess, you know, it begs the question, has anyone ever read any literature of the Masters of the Universe?
Oh, there's actual, like the comics, you mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't even know there were comics. So you really just dove right into it.
I did.
I think really, I tell you right now, being a child of syndication and reruns and watching all these cartoons, it was about the toys. Mm. It was really about how these shows were selling toys.
Yeah, absolutely. Star Wars, you know, that's what started it with, like, oh my God, we can make so much money with action figures.
From what I know, it's just like a lot of this was like, we need to sell these. We want to create a line of toys. We want to create these characters. Let's create a show that gives a storyline and origin to these characters and get these toys sold.
Right. Yeah. So this is, I'm more surprised that it even stemmed from quote unquote literature, because all these, when I think of the 80s and I think of like animated TV shows, I think of literal, they're just commercials for toys for kids to go out and buy. And we've covered some 80s. We've covered 80s cartoons, right? Haven't we? What are we?
I believe we have. I mean, well, we did Scooby-Doo.
That was in the 80s, was it?
No pup way. Named Scooby-Doo. A pup was named 80s, Scooby-Doo. And, you know, different variations that came out of shows like Tom and Jerry and stuff. But I can't think of any. I feel like we have. Why? Like, the Addams Family had a cartoon, Ghostbusters, yeah, you know, all of these things.
Yeah, we didn't cover those cartoons, though. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
But yeah, yeah. Oh, man. Should we look at our catalog?
No. And the reason I'm just saying that is just because what's it called? Like, He-Man is like just one of those like just shows that was just like a tool to sell to sell toys. I want to say even the Transformers show was just another. It was just a vehicle to just get these toys in front of kids. The Power Rangers, you know.
But even before the Power Rangers, because we're talking about that era of the 80s. So even before the Power Rangers, you had the Bionic Six.
Nice.
You had a variety of different versions of the Transformers.
Yeah, the Bionic Six is exactly what you're thinking about, Nicole. You had the Bionic Man meets the Million Dollar Woman. No, Bionic Woman meets the Million Dollar Man, and they have a family together, and it's a cartoon.
Yeah, you have the Thundercats.
Thank you.
Oh, the Thundercats. Of course,
Thundercats. You have the Thundercats. You have the Smurfs. You have Alvin and Chipmunks. You have Brave Star, Silverhawk. You have like all these action shows that led to toys, you know, even spinoffs from He-Man like She-Ra, when we discovered that He-Man had an had a twin sister that was stolen when she was born. So and that was like another show that came that was spinned off from He-Man.
Mm-hmm.
But G.I. Joe being one of the primary.
Yes, G.I. Joe was a big one.
Of toys. And maybe we could return it to G.I. Joe in a later date when the Snake Eyes movie, if we ever cover that.
I think that movie already came out.
And we should cover that.
I have no desire watching
so,
G.I. Joe.
Okay, so pretty much no one's read the books.
No. I didn't even know there were books.
I mean, the comic books.
The comic books
came out later on.
No, they came first. Historically, yeah, they came first. So the show came out in 83, but you know, the comic books and the action figures were released as way back as 1981.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's actually...
And it was, yeah, like a DC comic series made for children and whatnot.
The original Mattel comics were in 1981. They were mini comics with stories about the characters. Look at that. So they were already pushing toys and stuff. And then came out the series. Look at that, see?
Yep.
Once again, teaching us history that I didn't know because I always assumed that the toys came after the TV show, you know, kind of working in tandem.
I mean, they kind of, it was kind of brilliant. I'm not going to say that this was what their goal was, but, you know, they were like, why don't we sell the toys first and then we'll put the show out so all the kids will just automatically watch it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't say that it was not the intention either, though. I mean, I feel like when it comes to
capitalism, I can't say it was, but I can't say it wasn't.
Capitalism in America is about exploitation.
I mean, even one of the shows of the 80s too, Dungeons and Dragons, was literally created to get people involved in the gameplay, tabletop game of Dungeons and Dragons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm pretty sure none of these shows ever killed in the ratings because the ratings don't matter. What matters is children picking up the toys.
The merchandise,
the selling.
Yeah.
Like, merchandising is the most important part of these kids' toys, right? And keep in mind, like, because of shows like He-Man and Thundercats, I want to say is when the parents' groups got together and were kind of trying to force broadcasters to have a standard to teach children some stuff. And actually, if you saw these shows, the He-Man, like, at the end of each episode, like, they would try to teach you a lesson.
Yes. Today's episode, I did see that. Yeah.
It was about confidence.
Yes. Yeah. You might not be able to meet some of the characters depicted in this episode, but you could read up about them. I loved that.
Too. And that was also a big thing that G.I. Joe used to do, too.
Teaching. That's right. Teaching
kids.
There
would always be a lesson. There would always be.
Yeah.
I do remember this.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's actually talk a little bit about the premise and the characters, too, because I did want to mention one of the episodes that I saw.
Sure.
So the series, it takes place on Eternia. It's a planet, you know, it's a mythical, magical planet. Our main character, He-Man, is a prince. His name is Prince Adam.
Like, and Adam and Eve. Although with that outfit, he's more Adam and Steve. Am I right?
Up top.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the young son of the rulers, of the king and the queen. And whenever he holds the sword of power and he proclaims, by the power of Grayskull, he is, I love this word. I'm reading this, but I love this. He is endowed with fabulous secret powers and is transformed into He-Man.
I love that.
And he becomes the most powerful man in the universe. And together with his close allies who know this secret, there's Battle Cat. There is the Sorceress. There's Teela and Orko. They all use their forces to defend Eternia from the evil forces of Skeletor.
Now, Teela actually doesn't know that Prince Adam is
He-Man, yeah.
His other person that knows is the Master of Arms, Duncan, who had, like, the most hideous outfit. It was, like, he has, like, the purple and green and orange outfit. It's, like, the ugliest
man
fucking
of
thing.
Arms.
Does
man
Orko
of arms. Man
no?
at arms. At.
Orko knows his identity. Orko. Yeah,
so,
okay. Orko.
So is the Sorceress, Man at Arms, and Orko that know his secret, and his Cringer, his cat, who becomes Battle Cat.
Right.
Man at Arms is the adopted father of Teela. Right?
Yes. I know this because I saw the Netflix one.
Spoiler, we find out in an episode that Teela is actually the daughter of the Sorceress.
I didn't see that episode, but I think you kept telling me that this was important for the revival.
This was very important for the revival.
Uh-huh.
Okay. It's hinted in that episode that if anybody's ever going to take the Sorceress place, the most likely person would be Teela. Okay?
Okay.
Eternia itself as a world exists in a point in creation that magic and technology can exist on this world. That's important. So there are worlds where only magic exists, and there are worlds like Earth where only technology can exist. Mm-hmm. Okay? Hmm. He-Man's mother, Queen Marlena, is from Earth. She's astronaut that got stuck at, lost in a wormhole and ended up in Eternia.
I didn't know that about her.
So she
was that Courtney Cox's character in the movie?
No.
Oh.
Oracle's origin story gets changed up a little bit here and there. Sometimes they say that he's the last of his kind. Sometimes he said that he's got lost and ends up in Eternia, but he's from another world. That's why his magic is always kind of wacky, because he's really efficient and really good at magic on his planet, on his world. But on this world, it's like everything is his world. Magic is like backwards, so he has to say things backwards or things are done backwards to make it happen. But when he's in Eternia, it seems that it's like every other spell may go wonky.
Huh.
So that's the thing.
This
and
is
then,
why Orko is just the worst.
Stop hating on
but
him.
But Orko is almost like, kind of like the royal family is like his found family.
Right.
Yeah.
Or his forever family.
He's adopted. Yeah. Adopted family. Yeah. And yeah, so of course, you know, somebody with all this power, somebody's going to want to steal it. And that is what Skeletor is. And it's pretty much, you know, kind of like the road runner and that coyote, you know, it's just like they're always trying to get at each other. Well, mainly the coyote's trying to always capture the roadrunner, you know. Skeletor is just, that's all he does with his life. And sometimes he uses physical violence and sometimes he uses emotional manipulation. So it's interesting because one of the episodes that I saw, my favorite character is Orko, and this one was based pretty much focused on Orko, where Skeletor convinced Orko that everyone hated him. And he played like this mind game on him to the point where Orko wanted to run away and he had to be chased down by the sorceress who actually showed him, you know, how much people loved him and what life would be like without him and how much, you know, they
would all miss him. Oh my God. It was like that movie.
Kind of like It's a Wonderful Life. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's so funny.
And
because I feel like if I had seen that episode, I don't remember this episode, but maybe I did growing up, I would have very much been like, yeah, Orko is the worst. I hate him too. Because I never liked Orko.
I liked Orko, actually. I think he was the one character that I really, you know, found my heart opening up to. Because he's so different, you know, like He-Man's just like He-Man.
All brawn, yeah.
Yeah, you know, like, where's the personality depth? But I kind of got, like, you know, some character things from Orko pretty immediately, which is why I was drawn to him. And yeah. And it's interesting because, you know, it's this whole show about, like, people trying to get, you know, power from the source by the power of Grayskull and all this stuff. But at the end of the day, here's this episode that's also just about like appreciating who you are and, and appreciating the people around you and letting people know how much you enjoy them and love them, which is also, it's very much an 80s show for kids. Like we talked about in Punky Brewster too, where it was really important that you were addressing issues that kids were going through. And it was kind of like a very special episode. And yeah, I don't know if that was He-Man's very special episode, but I appreciated the emotional aspect of it.
I remember them being a lot about that, you know, like about relationships and about the things that we sacrifice in relationships.
Yeah.
I mean, there was one crazy episode where a dragon had fallen in love with a human girl and a human woman. Aww. So they loved each other. So what it was a deal that was made that that the dragon had asked the head dragon, the king of the dragons, if he could become human, but it was granted as long as he can complete trials or find the champion to complete his trials. So he asked He-Man to help him in that too. So He-Man basically went through these grueling trials that he didn't have to go through for their love. You know,
interesting. I don't remember this episode either. So I mean, I used to watch the show as a kid. I don't even remember. I can't even tell you like if I used to see it on Cartoon Network or if I saw it on like the WB or, you know, or whatever it was back then. But this is like it's so interesting, right? Like, because even when I was rewatching it with you, Eddie, right? Like, I was just like, man, like, I was surprised. First of all, I was kind of more impressed with, like, the animation of this show. Like, I thought the animation was shockingly, like, detailed, right? Right? There's, like, some scenes where, like, Teela, for example, she's just rolling around and, like, I'm just like, huh.
Yeah, their action.
Like, the action sequence is actually pretty nice to look at.
Yeah. I would agree. One of the strong points of the show is absolutely its animation.
Yeah, and it's just like, it's not something that I think about when I think of, like, kids programming, especially what I used to watch back then. And then, you know, comparing it to, like, what we see now, which the animation style has kind of, like, the animation style that we have nowadays, I feel like, for the most part, gravitates towards cartoonish, right? I know, like, for example, even the Thundercats reboot skewed much more cartoonish, which is part of the reason why I didn't even bother watching it. I don't even know.
I don't think so.
No, yeah, the newest one? The newest one looks similar to, like, the Steven
Universe.
I'm
unfamiliar.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But not the one that I saw, right?
No. That's, like, that one came out, like, maybe a decade ago. There's one that's even more recent that looks like Steven Universe, right? And, you know, that kind of, like, cartoonish, that kind of more whimsical. So that was one of the most interesting things, like, watching this one. Outside of the lessons. I mean, you know, the one that Eddie first showed me was about this wizard who has to reunite these two comets, mind you, because they're love comets or whatever, and they're both male. And I was just like, what? To a homosexual comet? And the storyline was about confidence, right? Because the wizard had lost his confidence. So at the end, Man at Arms is just teaching us about the importance of having confidence and believing in yourself. And I was just like, this is so bizarre. And yet, like, kind of so, I don't know, cute, I guess, in some weird way. I don't know if you ever remember. Have you ever seen Family Guy?
A couple times.
All right. So there was this one great scene that, like, Stewie was, like, playing with his He-Man toy, and then there was another toy they was playing with, and he's like, oh my god, you're so ripped and you're so handsome, blah 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 blah. And then he turns to the camera, is like, yeah, you want to know why your kids are gay? Because of these shows. These muscular shirtless men. I mean, the detail they put in He-Man's body is just crazy.
Yeah, it's just, I definitely think there crazy. Was somebody sexually repressed behind that pen.
But it's so interesting, because looking back, I feel like I feel like there were some things that resonated with me even back then watching these shows. Like the one that I spoke about, like, you know, this love that's different between a dragon and a woman, a human woman, and stuff like that. And how their love made it possible for them to be together. And there's even one weird, it was where there was, like, ant people. Mm-hmm. And they were always being discriminated, even though they're really nice people, but everybody hated them because they look like monsters.
Aww.
And one of the guys falls into this magical river, and he gets transformed into a very hot, muscular butterfly man.
Oh.
And so it's like it's like this, like, a transformation happens. And I don't know exactly what the message that was for that episode, but I do remember that being like, wow, you know, the possibility of, you know, I don't know, being beautiful in one way or another. Where you're transformed. You find that inner beauty that radiates outward.
Yeah.
Something to that effect.
Yeah, there does seem to be, like, at the end of the day, too, it's a morality show. It's not just there to entertain you. It wants to give you morals that you can take with you and live your life by. And it's actually kind of funny. It's very comedic. It's very silly. It's very, like, oh, whoa, you know, like, derpy, at least in some of the side characters, maybe not He-Man. And even the depiction of Skeletor. You know, this was before it became commonplace to depict your villains as, like, really, really, like, cool, sick, twisted villains that everyone secretly wanted to be like. They're actually comical and stupid. And you look at this stupid villain, right? That was, like, back in the 80s how villains got depicted. So Skeletor is a clown in this show.
Not only I think he's a clown, but he has, like, the most interesting design, because he's just ripped, muscular in this leotard, but he's a skull.
Yes. Yeah. You know? It's so interesting. I wonder what his deal is, but I don't know. He his voice, like, ah, I'm Skeletor. Like, I love his voice in this one.
A couple of years back, I was following this influencer on Instagram, and, like, his Halloween costume was, like, a hold up version a Skeletor, right? Where it was just like like a skull mask, and then he just wore like, I don't even think he painted his suit body. I think he just like wore the straps that he had, and that was it. And like a thong, and that was his Skeletor costume. But it was, I found it funny, right? Gays appropriating like He-Man. Like there's something fun about that. And
well, I mean, if you guys were thinking of a Halloween costume,
I wish I could pull off a He-Man look.
I think totally you could.
You know what? I'll pull off the Skeletor look because then I could be an elite.
Yes.
Yeah. but no, I it's yeah. Rewatching this is just like Skeletor is a campy character, interesting design that by in theory should be kind of scary. Because of the way they play it up, it's kind of like more hammy, but like fun. It's not like I don't.
Yeah,
like
it's kind of kitschy.
Yeah, I think it's more fun than it is like even like kind of like he does. He pose the biggest threat sometimes, but like he's also I don't know, just like that voice is what kind of
yeah.
I don't know.
I think that's also the company. At least I feel the company that produced it, Filmation. You know, they're not like this Disney type that takes themselves too seriously and or, you know, that's like Disney's very much has a message, right? About dreams and the importance of dreams and achieving your dreams and that there's whole world out there and stuff. Or like, you know, any other Hanna-Barbera, you know, which is more so kind of like fun and secret, like adult jokes and all this stuff. Yeah, like Filmation was actually, I think, kind of campy. You know, some of the other things that Filmation produced, like we said, the Ghostbusters cartoon was something Filmation produced. They did a movie, actually, that you might know. Did you ever see Happily Ever After growing up?
No, I don't think
it was like it was, you know, obviously it's a spin on Snow White. And then they also did Pinocchio and the Emperor of the Night. I remember I actually had Happily Ever After on VHS.
Oh, interesting.
And I've been hard pressed to find many other people who have seen this movie, but I've seen it, damn it. And and The Secret of the Sword, which is actually a He-Man and She-Ra movie that they produced. This is, I think, their most prolific work, you know, other He-Man? Than maybe.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, He-Man, I mean, it even spun a live action movie starring
Dolph Lundgren
as He-Man himself and
Courtney Cox.
And Courtney Cox.
That's right. Look at that.
Yeah, Courtney Cox was in it.
So it's interesting because this show actually only lasted for 2 seasons. Yeah. Albeit 130 episodes, but only 2 seasons.
I was going to say 2 seasons. Yeah, but like, and how many toys did it sell, right?
Yeah, yeah. Because but it has staying power.
It does. It has a very, very devoted fan base. And the show, I mean... That devoted fan base has been, you know, craving, like, you know,
new
content, right?
Yeah.
And networks have delivered, right? Because this is like Netflix's He-Man Revelations isn't the first attempt at this because, you know, there was one in the, I want to say 90s or early aughts, Eddie. Do you remember what year it was? The other He-Man? It was early aughts, yeah. So the early aughts had a He-Man version that was same thing. They kind of like he was all butch and like kind of super muscular.
Is that the New Adventures of He-Man?
Yes, the New Adventures of He-Man.
This new one ignores that one.
The new one ignores. I don't think fans took to that one. I don't know why. I never seen it, so I can't speak to it. But I really wanted to cover this Netflix one because this show has gotten so much hate from fanboys. And I don't know. I'm like dying to really talk about it because there's nothing I think more satisfying than when fanboys cry woke culture, right? And that's kind of what the backlash that Kevin Smith has been facing here.
Yes, Kevin Smith, which
interesting. I guess,
yeah, you know, thinking about it now too, I was like, there's got to be a word that I would put for the original He-Man and how I felt about it, and I came up with the word, and the word's wholesome.
Wholesome?
Yeah.
That's an interesting word that if you had asked me before revisiting this series, if I would have thought of He-Man as wholesome, I would have said, no way. However, revisiting the series, I'm just like, oh, this is a lot more wholesome than I remember it being.
Yeah.
Because I guess we just keep remembering like the action sequences, right? Mm-hmm. And it's just like, it's so much more than that. And
absolutely.
It's shocking. It's got a show that has like a lot of longevity and staying power with like its devoted fan base, and revisiting the show is just like, I can see why. I understand. Yeah,
me too. I could see why a lot of people enjoy this and have wanted a new version for so long. Mm-hmm. I do wonder if they feel like this new version that they got was the new version that they wanted.
Well,
let's talk about that.
Yeah, I can tell you
that. Yeah, let's talk about that.
The answer is no. So development, right. So this show was announced by Kevin Smith in 2019 to the excitement of fans. And I think it took maybe what, almost a year and a half, 2 years to fully develop out there. Little by little, they were announcing the cast, and we knew that Sarah Michelle Gellar was going to be involved. She plays Tila, Alicia Silverstone, Mark Hamill, and even Kevin Conroy would make an appearance. Mm-hmm. So, you know, exciting, exciting cast. Chris Wood of Supergirl, he plays He-Man and stuff. And little by little, like, you know, Kevin Smith, being Kevin Smith, like, would divulge little bits of information here and there on social media, exciting fans. Eventually, I want to say a trailer dropped, getting fans, like, all riled up because, you know, it looked like it was going to deliver on what fans wanted, which is, like, kind of like an action-oriented show.
Yeah.
Fans feel deceived by that. And they are accusing Kevin Smith of bait switching. They're accusing Kevin Smith of pushing a progressive message, like propaganda and stuff. And if you've watched it, let us know what you think, because I think me and Eddie completing the series, I will say this. It's just like, all right, I understand about the bait and switch here, but that doesn't. What you got here is still like a good product. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, don't. The allure of the original show is there, but I don't know. They gave us like a far superior product than I was expecting from the show, because I kind of had no excitement of seeing this He-Man show. And then when Eddie like kind of twisted my arm into watching it, and we binged it in basically like a weekend. Really? So
yeah.
I mean, it's five episodes. It's a short. Oh, that's right. This is the first part of the season.
Okay, yeah. I was gonna say there's no more. So
there is gonna be like another half that will drop eventually. We don't know when. Mm-hmm. But okay. I want to say that the same production company that did this, Eddie, correct me if I'm wrong, but you said it was Castlevania. Mm-hmm. Is that the other show that they've done?
Yes.
Ooh. Yes. Yeah, Castlevania.
The ones that.
And Castlevania is like one of the popular like. Netflix animes that takes place.
Oh, Powerhouse, or is that Mattel Television that did Castlevania? Powerhouse Animation Studios.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So do we know how many people that were involved in the original have come back for this, or is this kind of like brand new? That's a great question,
but I think it's like completely brand new. I don't think anyone from the original is like involved at all. No.
I don't think so. I mean, it's not Filmation. Filmation is not up and at him again. But you know, Kevin Smith and the writers are all brand new. The voice actors and stuff. So it begs the question too of like, was this something that could not have been done with anybody in the original, or were they just not asked? This is a question that I wish we had an answer to, but it's interesting too because I saw very little of the original show. So I can't really talk about any upsets or anything that fans might be feeling. But I did notice one thing that I thought was interesting in the very first episode is that they actually kind of changed a major structure of the premise.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, very
and,
much so.
You know, and we said this, I think maybe even last week or very recently on an episode where it's like, you know, people don't really like change too much. There's things that are the rules about a world that when you change those rules about the world, you have the potential of either jumping the shark of your television show or just isolating your viewers because, you know, the reason that they were drawn to it and the dynamics that were once there have now changed, right?
Yeah. I remember that. Was it for Gossip Girl or was it for something else? I think it was
Been for Gossip Girl. I do believe it was just last week.
Yeah.
So they kind of do that in the very first episode, and that kind of kicks off where the rest of the episodes are going to go.
Correct.
And the big one being that, you know, He-Man, he pretty much gives his life to defeat Skeletor, and in it reveals that his true identity as Prince Adam to some of the people that he fought with that did not know, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the king banishes Man-at-Arms and Teela? That's her
Teela,
name, right?
Teela, yes.
Yeah, Teela pretty much, you know, throws her sword to the ground and leaves. And, you know, gives up her place at the... And just says, you know, I don't want to do this anymore. I can't believe you guys knew and nobody ever said anything, you know, like all of that. And that's like a huge dramatic thing.
Right.
That, you know, that just never happened in the original. They never went there. And this show automatically goes there.
Yes, it does. So this show automatically changes things up by removing He-Man. I think actually in the title, it's just Masters of the Universe Revelation.
Yes.
They drop He-Man.
Yeah, that's true.
So that should have been the big indicator for people here. But this is true. Okay.
Well, you know, so some people are like, oh, if you're going to bring this back, you know, you might want to like play around with things and go in places that you don't want, that we never went to before. But other people are probably like, no, I just want more of what I got before. Right. So as a person who is relatively new to this, I want to ask you guys, how did you feel about that? I guess more particularly Eddie, who is more
Eddie is like
here.
The bigger fan than I am. So Eddie, yeah, actually Eddie, you as the bigger fan here, you were the one who was most excited about watching this. What did you feel? Like, what were your gut feelings as soon as you were watching this?
I loved it. Uh-huh. I love that it picks up exactly kind of like where we left off. With the 80s show. I was surprised that He-Man does sacrifice his life. Like first episode and that's it. Like it's done. It's like, and then we're picking up the pieces too. I love Teela's reaction because I felt like it was like growing up, there's always this thing about like keeping a secret or keeping your secret identity. You know, the character's always keeping the hero's always keeping a secret identity for those that he loves.
Yeah.
To protect them. But then we get a look at what happens when those that he says we're protecting or those that those loved ones find out and how they really feel about that, that kind of sense of betrayal. Teela was a very important aspect of Prince Adam's daily life. She taught him how to fight. She was his bodyguard. You know, she was very much part of the inner circle of the royal family. And here she's discovering this big secret too. So it's she looks around the room and it's like the king, Adam's father, and Teela are the ones that are not in on it.
Mm-hmm.
And he totally overreacts. I love how the king, like, everybody's banished.
Yeah.
And Teela's like, I quit. I don't want nothing to do with you, all of yous, you, mm-hmm. you, and I hate magic. And she walks out. And that's it. And then it's this journey that she undertakes. When we see Teela again, she's kind of like, you know, a person of hire, you know. And then she's like called to this like, I know you hate magic, but you got to fix magic because Eternia is dying. And if Eternia dies, everything dies. We need you to fix it all.
Right. So the show makes Teela the main character.
Yes.
This becomes, and this, I want to say, is probably where a lot of the show gets a lot of its hate from, because not only is Teela the main character, but the next person who is the most important character is Evil Lyn.
Oh.
Not Skeletor, right? So you have, this is predominantly women who are up front and kind of calling the shots for the rest of the show.
Yeah.
And this is their journey. And guess who that pissed off?
Fanboys.
And they have been calling, crying foul, saying it's just like, yo, this is not He-Man. This is, and, you know, I feel like Kevin Smith is just saying, cry about it. That's literally has been his response. Like, he's just like, man, oh, well, get over it, because this is the show that I wanted to fucking create. And he, as the creator, can do that. And I think if it...
Well, creator of the new one.
Of this show.
Of revivalist of the property revival, right. That, you know, all these people have as much right to as he does. Just to defend slightly.
Sure. But I think at the same time, though, it's just like...
I don't know, but the story's not over. And I think this is something, too, that angers me. Because this is just the beginning of a story.
Yeah.
Too. This part, this aspect. And it's almost a reintroduction to the He-Man mythos. So we end with like...
Oh, wait. Spoiler alert, if we're going to get into the ending.
You know, we end with possible resurrections of He-Man. What is that? You know, and what's that going to mean for him, for his soul, for Eternia?
Possible resurrection. Eddie, you remember what happened, how it ended, right?
I know, but, you know.
I'm going to tell you because I think it's so juicy. So he resurrects. He comes up. He comes back. Mm-hmm. And moments later... Skeletor stabs him right in the heart. And I'm just like, I remember I was shocked when that happened. I was just like, oh shit, did they just kill off He-Man again? And like, this one felt more finite because he just came from the afterlife and the gods are telling him, just like, if you leave heaven, there's no coming back. Mm. And he made that sacrifice for his friends yet again. But God, it was so short lived because he died moments
even
later.
Even though, I mean, we've all seen Xena, the Warrior Princess. She died like 7 times and always came
back.
That's
a great point. Yeah. So, I mean, death is meaningless to some of these shows. But it was still a bit of a shock to see Skeletor like actually piercing him with the Sword of Power, no less.
Yeah. Well, so it's interesting because even though they call this one Masters of the Universe, and the show, the original was, you know, He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, at the end of the day, most of the people are there for He-Man. And it's kind of like how we covered the Power Rangers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you go to a movie expecting to see a movie about Power Rangers, and instead you get the backstory. So people were upset because they're like, I wanted to see them be Power Rangers, and they're only Power Rangers for 10 minutes, right? Do you think it's outrage that people are like, I was really excited to see He-Man again, only for them to kill him twice? Like, you know, how much of this whole different story, you know, like I have no problem with this things focusing on Teela and giving us her own coming of age story and whatnot. But, you know, also people are there for He-Man. So
maybe. So I think, though. All right.
That's not even a coming of age story. It's like you're in your late 20s and you feel like you got everything figured out. And then someone pulls the rug out of you. And all of a sudden, everything you believed in, everything that you trusted in, you no longer have it. So you have to reinvent yourself and discover who you really are. And this is the journey of Teela. And one of the things that I was cracking up is like when every time someone was trying to say, but Teela, there's more. There's so much more to this. She would say, I have no time for this. I have no time for talking. We must complete this quest, you know? Mm-hmm. And it was revealing that, Teela, you're so much more than you realize. There's so much more that you're destined for.
Mm.
You know?
But then to answer your question, though, Nicole, like, I think my beef here might be that, like, I think a lot of this anger is misguided.
Because of
why? It's because they're called... Here's the thing. They are actively calling this show out to be like a social justice warrior's wet dream. It's about like, oh, this is a show about just female empowerment, like kill the patriarchy and stuff, which this show is just, it's not that. It's just taking the Masters of the Universe. It's taking that story and just putting the spotlight on someone else. Now, I think what you're saying, Nicole, your complaint about saying is you're like, oh, I want to watch a He-Man show. I think that's a valid complaint, but that's not the complaint they're making. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And that's where I think they're losing steam on this argument. It's just like, this show is actually really good.
Yeah, right? They're focusing more on the female.
Yeah, sure, they're focusing on it, but like, they're not throwing it. They're not at any point saying girl power. Girls can do, you know what I mean? Like, they're just focusing on this one character, Teela, who, let's be very honest, was mostly neglected in the original run of the show. And they're saying it's just like there's so much more to her, like Eddie was saying. And that's kind of the running joke. Like, she doesn't want to hear that there is so much more to her. But, like, the show is, like, kind of showing us. This is, like, but there literally is. And this is her journey. And I think it's just like, yeah, cool. You want the He-Man show. That's fine. You're not getting that. And you could be upset about that. But you cannot turn that anger into just, like, crying foul about what you think is going on in the world. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
The fan base of this show, predominantly male. I don't know if it's predominantly white, but I'm going to make an assumption, right? Can't say that I know many black people who were, like, into He-Man, but I don't know. Maybe there were. But I want to say it is also predominantly a white show. And we also do get introduced a black character, like, who is a sidekick, who is, like, a second, you know, secondary important character.
Yeah.
But I think they're kind of turning this argument into an argument about all media. It's just like, once again, social justice warriors and woke culture is just coming for the stuff that I like. And it's like, yeah, but did you watch the show? Like, this show was so much more than just that. It was such a interesting, it explored not just Teela. It explored all the other main characters. Like, Orko gets a big episode here. Evil-Lyn gets, like, moments to shine, right? It kind of, like, it takes these characters from being, like, the cartoony characters we saw in the 80s and matures them. And you explore their psyche a little bit. And I don't know. It's just, like, what's wrong with that? Like, He-Man is, and they even try to do with He-Man, right? Because He-Man isn't just there for the beginning. He's there for a lot more than that and stuff. So I think Nicole, it's a fair argument. It's just like, oh, but I wanted to see a He-Man show. That's fine. You didn't get that. But, like, the complaints that these people are making about this show are not valid.
And to be clear, I'm playing devil's advocate. I know this is how I feel. You know, I think so overall, I do applaud it for going in that way because they, you know, they're trying to expand character depth. They're trying to expand story. They, you know, they want a little bit more to work off of. And, you know, it's not the 80s anymore. So all the things and that were charming about the, you know, 1983 series, people, you could do it in a nostalgic way, but it's also kind of not going to work. And it's not going to bring in new viewers at the end of the day. I don't think it would. I thought that the opening sequence from the moment it began, you realized how much of it was a love letter to the original show, but it was going to be definitely its own show.
Mm-hmm. Are you talking about
the opening credits, like the explaining Eternia and the whole world?
Right. Yes.
And it does, and I said the animation's really great, and it's nostalgic with it still being like new and exciting. But there were a couple things that I personally didn't like, mostly the voice acting, and it kind of took me out of it. I think we need to prevent Mark Hamill from further voice acting because now he's just doing the same voices.
He's just the same.
Yeah, pretty much. That Skeletor is the fucking Skeksis guy from Dark Crystal. It's the same voice. A little bit like the Joker. And it's just like, oh my God, Mark Hamill, can you do a different voice?
Mark Hamill gave us an original voice at least when he did Chucky.
Yeah, the Chucky. Oh, yeah, there's a new Chucky. There's a TV show Chucky.
Oh, what? There's a TV show Chucky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. All right. I mean, we already covered Chucky, so I don't know.
I don't know. We might be doing Ghostbusters too soon, so like we might have to revisit some of the stuff. We've already visited.
Well, we're going to revisit Batman when the new one comes out. Like, oh, my gosh, look at this. We're already reviving our own episodes. Yeah.
We're remaking movies, revivals, and revisiting. So you didn't like, I liked Mark Hamill as Skeletor.
But it wasn't the original Skeletor.
Oh no, it wasn't. Fine. But like, I think they used him the right amount, which is not that much to be honest.
That's true. Yeah. But also I guess I was like so hyper aware of who these people were and I really enjoyed the voice actors from the original and I'm going to assume that they're not all dead. So I don't know why they couldn't just have come back.
That's a fair question. I don't know. My least favorite one was actually Sarah Michelle Gellar as Celine. I love me Sarah Michelle Gellar. But she
sounded... but it was Sarah Michelle Gellar.
But and not just that, Sarah Michelle Gellar has a very youthful voice still.
This is true. Yeah, she does.
Like, like I don't think Tila... I think Tila should sound a little more mature, a little more, you know, seen things, right? Because she has. So that was my one where... And I'm and again, I'm this is just not... I'm not critiquing Sarah Michelle Gellar's voice. Like, I think she sounds great. But I it was just listening to it. I'm thinking it's just like, wow, she sounds like... She still sounds like a teenager. You know what I mean? She still sounds like Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Which now makes me want to say, she's like, just make an animated Buffy the Vampire Slayer and bring Sarah Michelle Gellar back. Like, problem solved.
They already did.
With Sarah Michelle Gellar?
I think they were with the original cast.
Oh, wait. Okay, well, we need to find out more about this information here. But outside of that, Lena Headey, she was great as Evil-Lyn. But Lena Headey is great in... Oh, that she does. She was also in...
She was in Dark Crystal, yeah.
Oh, look at that. Yeah, I mean, Netflix is just reusing voice talent over and over again. They got these people on the lock and they ain't letting go, you know?
Yeah. Which is actually kind of funny because that's what the Filmation Studios did. You know, the guy who played He-Man was in a bunch of their other shows and movies and whatnot. So,
funny.
Hey, if it works, it works.
The other thing we didn't touch upon, which... It's never explicitly said, but I feel like this is something that the fanboys have been complaining about. But there is implication that Tila is dating the first character, person of color that's like regularly featured in the thing in the show. Her name is Andra, and it turns out that she was a white character though in the comic books, and they have decided to make her a person of color in this show.
Now, typically that's something that gets, you know, a lot of people riled up. That's like, why do you got to change them and all this stuff?
But is that was a comic one of the complaints? And, yeah, and like I didn't even read the comics.
Hey, comic book purists, man.
That's true.
They care.
Yeah. It reminds me of the complaints for, the girl from Hunger Games.
Go on.
Right. So, Mu? Is her name Mu? No, that's not right. The girl that died in Hunger Games.
Yeah, oh, I saw the film.
I was close. Okay, Rue. So, Rue, apparently that casting upset so many people. They were expecting a white person. And apparently in the description, it's very clearly not a white person. But no, people empathize, you know, this is supposed to be a sympathetic death, and like, I'm sorry, apparently some white people can't sympathize with a black girl dying. Whoa.
Yeah, people lost their shit when they thought that Idris Elba was going to be James Bond, you know, and that didn't
even
happen.
I remember that too. Yeah, so. Yeah, that's not, and it's just like, why? Like, why?
Like,
you like James Bond more than me.
I do, and I hope we get to do a James Bond thing where we cover all the different people who've done James Bond once we get a new James Bond,
but
if we ever do.
Would you be cool with a black James Bond?
Absolutely.
Especially
Daniel Craig, you know, everyone was like, a blonde James Bond. And it was just like, eye roll.
I was more a take it back because you're like, a blonde and old James Bond? I'm not feeling this.
He wasn't old when he was hired.
He seemed kind of, oldish features, I thought.
He's not my favorite Bond by far. So
what about, I would prefer an Indian James Bond.
I mean, it would be nice if, you know, we've already seen the whole white guy thing done many times. So let's just get a different version. You know, Doctor Who is already on to women.
Good point. Good point. How do we get into this? Oh, right. Yes. Andra, you know, person of color in the show, possibly in a relationship with Tila.
And I'm here for it.
They gave each other looks and stuff. I am kind of too, you know, not because just lesbians, but just because... It seemed organic, right? Like Tila feeling this like trauma, being betrayed, being hurt, you know, goes off and starts her own thing. And like part of that is exploring. It's just like, you know what? I'm gonna explore myself and realizing I like women.
At the end of the day, the Masters of the Universe property, whether it's He-Man or She-Ra, I think is so closely associated with the LGBT community. And I think that it's actually should be heralded more as, you know, like, hey, this is LGBT content here.
You're right. You're saying that just make He-Man straight up gay.
Maybe. I mean, I sure, you know, or maybe at least pan or buy or something. But like, you know, it is what it is. The gay community has kind of claimed it, so let's just make it official.
I would, I feel like they should play up Skeletor being gay. Like, I would love, yeah, right? I would die for Skeletor to just straight up be like homosexual and just straight up just.
I kind of feel like he is.
He might be. He might be. I mean, do skulls have gender?
He's got anatomy, that's for sure.
Yeah, have you seen?
Yeah, no. I'm glad we covered this episode, this topic, only because the amount of hate that this show was getting after me watching it, I was just like, this is really undeserved. And it's just like, I don't think it's just it's misguided, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so that's
especially it's. You know, I'm not trying to minimize its impact on anybody, but it's like a television show. It's a cartoon. Like, you know, if you're worried about James Bond being black and, you know, He-Man dying and Teela being the main character, then I think you need to make more friends.
And I think the other thing that we also have to realize is, like, those aren't symptoms of a woke culture. It's just us saying, it's just like, all right, but there's other, we can do, they're figments of our imagination. We can do whatever we want with them.
Yeah,
and that's the other thing that people have to recognize. Like, this is not an attack on the white identity in any way, or the straight white man identity. Like, this is just saying, well, it's just like, there's other things we can explore, specifically in this story.
Put perspective on why it is that they might be so threatened by it. Assuming, and they, as in an invisible, in quotation marks, they, you know, people don't like change, like I said. People are afraid of change. And I think that the tides are changing, you mm-hmm. know, or as Bob Dylan said, the times they are changing mm-hmm. and they're changing at such a rapid rate that people can't keep up with it. And they just are seeing it happening in everything that they watched, and the things that they used to find familiar and comfortable are now, you know, changing. And I think it's more so just people need to realize that change is a good thing and it's also inevitable, and that's how you grow. So, like, you know, if you can't accept it in the media that you consume, how are you ever going to accept it as part of your own process?
Amen to that. Can I just read you one fun tweet in terms of the reactions to these fanboys?
Yes.
All right. This is from @Benedict_RS. She tweeted, quote, "I'm not enjoying the new He-Man as much as the old one because it was made by social justice warriors," end quote. No, it's because you're 37 years old. And I think
that's a fair read. That's a fair read. Yeah.
You know? But yeah, so you guys out there listening, let me know. Let us know what you think. Are you guys fans of He-Man? Did you guys feel disappointed with the new He-Man? Or are you just as excited to see like a brand new fresh story come out of this like dated property? Let us know. Hit us up on Instagram. That's where we're most active. Instagram.com/remakesrebootsrevivals. No one goes to Instagram.com. I'm sorry. Our username is just remakesrebootsrevivals. But you can go on our Facebook/remakesrebootsrevivals and hit us up over there. Same company. So we'll get the messages. Don't worry. And we are active slightly on Twitter. Hit us up @remakespodcast. Anywhere else, Nicole?
You should give us a call. Reactions, clapbacks, responses. We want to hear from you, and we might just play it for everybody else. So you should give us a call. 862-248-2326. Let your voice be heard. We got some really opinionated fans, and we want to share your opinions with everyone else.
That's true.
862-24... Is that 248?
Yep, no, 248.
Yeah. Okay, 862... Sorry. 862-248-2326. And if you enjoy this podcast, please rate it on Apple Podcasts and share it any way you know how. Just telling people and sharing it really does help us grow, and we would definitely appreciate that. All right, so by the power of Grayskull, stay an original.
Oh, stay an original. I thought
I was like, what else is there to say, right? Stay an original.